Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amamar. The Gemara continues in analyzing the Braisa that was quoted in the shir that we learned yesterday. Amamar, the Braisa said, Ben Kach or Ben Kach LaYivol, husband should not do the first Bila with his wife, Lo Be'er Shabbos for Lo Be'Motzei Shabbos, not Friday evening, and not Motzoi Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Erev Shabbos, we could understand why Friday evening is unacceptable, Meshim Chabura, because it causes a wound. We'll discuss that more than the today's shir, and even more in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's shir. Ela B'Motzoi Shabbos Amayloi, why is the halacha that a wedding, the first relations, may not take place on Motzoi Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Amrav Zera, Mishum Cheshboinus. We're concerned that if the wedding's going to take place Motzoi Shabbos, he's going to start preparing for the wedding Shabbos afternoon. The Pasuk says, V'dabe Dover, Shlo Yid Debrucha Shal Shabbos, K'debrucha Shal Chol. We can't spend the Shabbos the way we spend the weekday. And he's going to end up preparing on Shabbos afternoon for Motzoi Shabbos. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, even though he's not really at this point of the Gemara doing anything, he's just thinking about it. But why did the Torah tell us Shlo Yidebrucha Shal Shabbos K'debrucha Shal Chol? We want Shabbos to be a Yom Menucha, a day of rest. If a person's making a wedding Saturday night, he's not going to have a day of rest on Shabbos. He's going to be thinking about the wedding all of Shabbos, and that's why Chazal said the wedding shouldn't take place Motzoi Shabbos. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya, the Chashboinu Shal Mitzvah Miyasiri, is that forbidden? Vam Rav Chizda, V'Rav Chizda Rav Humnuna de Amrit Avayu, they both hold Chashboinu Shal Mitzvah, if what we're doing is a purpose of a mitzvah, Mutal L'Chashvan B'Shabbos, that may be done in Shabbos. Moreover, Vam Rav Lozer, Paiskin Tzedakah L'Aniyim B'Shabbos, we're allowed to give decide to give tzedakah, we're allowed to make an appeal on Shabbos. And the Pesach can discuss that even though the Gemara is saying that the halacha is that on Shabbos, we're allowed to collect tzedakah funds, the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chatchila, one should not designate an item as tzedakah, that he's giving it for tzedakah on Shabbos, because the Mishnah says, Ein magdishim, we're not allowed to make something hegdish, declared as hegdish on Shabbos, and therefore designating an item as tzedakah or hegdish on Shabbos is prohibited. Although, the Paiskim do say, we know that when people get an aliyas or their appeals in shul, they do specify the amount of money. Why is that permissible? Because even if they're saying that they're giving a certain amount of money, they're not designating a certain dollar bill or a certain check. They're just pledging. And moreover, they're not transferring anything from their own possession to tzedakah. The issur of Ein Magdishim is that on Shabbos we're not allowed to have a transfer of funds from the private to the public. But here there's really no transfer taking place. It's only a pledge. That's why it's mutter. V'amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hochel about the Knesset, about the Midrashos. We're allowed to go to the about the Knesset, about the Midrashos. L'fakeach al iskei rabin b'Shabbos. To decide communal matters. Again, Paiskim say this has nothing to do with Vikuach Nefesh. Just there are communal matters that have to be discussed, and it may be done on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Varam Rabbi Yaakov or Idi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, B'fachim Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. We'll have to do Pikuach Nefesh. The Mashal takes out the word Pikuach Nefesh, because that's obvious, that whenever there's a question of a person's life at hand, we're allowed to do it. So he said, B'fachim Pikuach, whatever needs oversight, communal oversight, may be done on Shabbos. V'am Rav Shuvah Nachmeni, Om Rav Yonason, Hochon L'tatisoyis, U'l'karkiyoyis, L'fakeach Aliski Rabin B'Shabbos. Here too, the Rishonim say two pshatim. One pshat is, that even though normally one's not allowed to go to these type of places, these are circuses, theaters, the first parak of Tehillim says, Uv Moshev Leitzim, Lo Yashav, it's inappropriate for a Jew to be in these kind of places, but when it's L'tzorich Rabim, it's for the communal needs, it's permissible. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that it's not necessarily a place that they do something inappropriate. But on Shabbos, that's not where you're supposed to spend your Shabbos. But since it's la'oliskei rabin, there's a purpose for the community, we're lenient and allow going there on Shabbos. The time of Ben Menashe, Mishatchen al Tinoikis, Li'oris b'Shabbos, we can make Shaduchim, we can make matches on Shabbos. Val Tinoik, L'lam Dei Sefer, we could hire a teacher for a child to learn. Sefer means to learn L'mudei Kodesh, L'lam Dei Umnes, and to learn a profession. There's Machloikis HaPoiskim, that when the Gemara here says we're allowed to hire or arrange for a child to go to yeshiva, are we also allowed to arrange the tuition payments? Maybe what's only mutter, some Paiskim say, is to register my child, to tell the yeshiva, I want my child to learn. I want to tell the Rebbe, I want to learn you to teach my child. But to talk the financial details is not permissible on Shabbos. Other Paiskim say that even that is permissible on Shabbos. The Bi'alocha also makes a very interesting point. He says, the Gemara says here, Alatinik l'lamdai sefer, first, we have to teach our children safer. The first thing we have to do with our children is teach them Limudei Kodesh, how to be a good Jew, what it means to learn Torah and know how to act as a religious Jew. After we've done L'lamdei Sefer and we've ensured that our child had the proper chinuch, then L'lamdei Umnes, the second thing we also have to make sure is that our child has a way of sustaining himself. But what we see from all of this, that if it involves a mitzvah, it's mutter to do on Shabbos. So we go back to our original question. The Gemara says we're not allowed to conduct a wedding, Matzoi Shabbos, because we're concerned that on Shabbos he's going to be thinking about the preparations for the wedding. Here we see that there's nothing wrong with that. The Shita points out that the Gemara is asking a question, that we're allowed to make cheshbonis, we're allowed to think about Dvar Mitzvah on Shabbos. Why did the Gemara have to bring six different halachas to make the same point? So he says, there's a chiddush in every one of these halacha. Paiskin Stokal Aniyim B'Shabbos is talking for a community. For community, we're allowed to do. That's the first thing. The second thing is Halachah L'Batei Knesiyos L'Batei Midrashos, that not only are we allowed to do it, we're allowed to even go to the shul. The next thing is teaching us that it doesn't have to be a tzedakah issue. It could even be just a community need, pikuach, something that the community needs, not necessarily tzedakah. The next point is to teach us that not only are you allowed to go to a shul, we're even allowed to go to a place where normally you're not allowed to go to on Shabbos. And the next halacha teaches us that not only for the community, let's say there's a communal fund, but even mishatchan al tinoikis, for individual children, for every individual, if it's a dvar mitzvah, it's mutter on Shabbos. That's why the Shita says the Gemara brought down six different halachas. Each halacha has in it a unique chiddush. Says the Gemara, El Amrav Zera, why may a wedding not be conducted? Matzoi Shabbos, Gzera Shemi Yishchot Ben Oif. We're concerned that in the haste and in the tumult of preparing the wedding, on Shabbos afternoon, somebody's going to go shech the chicken. And therefore, we don't allow the wedding to take place Matzoi Shabbos. But Mefarshim make two interesting comments. One is, and Tosfos, we'll discuss the Tosfos in a moment about this. We're concerned particularly about a chicken. Why are we concerned about a chicken? Because again, it's Shabbos. Everybody recognizes it's in Shabbos, and nobody's going to start doing a big malacha, a big job on Shabbos, because everybody recognizes that. But shechting a chicken is no big deal. You just have to make a small cut. In the tumult of the wedding coming up, a person may forget himself, and therefore he'll do something minimal in the moment of forgetting and shech the chicken. Also from here we see, the Mefarshim say, that they used to serve chicken by the wedding. Why do they serve chicken by a wedding? Because chicken, we know, has an egg every day. So we wanted to give a bracha to the chassan and kala that they too should be zoichet to have many children make Yiddish adoris. Omlei Abaya, El Mi'ata, if this is a concern, that because one is busy, he may come to accidentally shecht a chicken So when Yom Kippur, Shechal Lius B'Sheni B'Shabbos, if Yom Kippur comes out to be on Monday, Yitcha, we should push off Yom Kippur to Tuesday, Gzeir Hashem Yishch Benoif. We know that Erev Yom Kippur, we have to eat. So why aren't we concerned that on Shabbos, which is the day before Erev Yom Kippur, he's going to shech the chicken? Answers the Gemara, two answers. Hosom, the Lanafshle, Loi Torid. Yom Kippur, you have to prepare a meal for you, for your family. It's not such a big meal. So nobody is so pressured that he feel that he's going to accidentally shech the chicken Shabbos afternoon. Hocha. However, here he's preparing a wedding meal. A large crowd. Delacherim Torid. And therefore there's more of a concern. Inami, another difference between Yom Kippur and a wedding in Matzoi Shabbos. Hosom Islay Rafcha. Yom Kippur, the mitzvah to eat is by day, Sunday by day. So he has all Saturday night to prepare the meal. So therefore he won't be pressured to prepare the meal Shabbos afternoon. However, here, Hocha, Lasle Rafcha, here, the wedding is Matzoi Shabbos. So he gets nervous already Shabbos afternoon, and therefore, we have to be concerned he's going to start preparing the meal. The Mefarsh, the Pnei Yeshua says, from here we see Halacha L'maisa, that even though the Halacha is, we know the din is, one is supposed to eat Erev Yom Kippur, and the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur is only Erev Yom Kippur by day, not by night. Because what's the Gemara saying, the difference between the wedding Saturday night and Yom Kippur being Sunday? Because by Yom Kippur we only have to eat Sunday by day. The wedding, we're going to eat Matzoi Shabbos. If there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur by night already, that teretz wouldn't work. So if we see from here that the mitzvah is only to eat Erev Yom Kippur by day, not the night before. Tosfos asks that the Gemara in Masechta Chulin says that there are a number of times during the year when even if one person is looking for meat, and in those days when they slaughtered an animal, so they didn't have refrigeration, but since it's so important to eat meat, we're allowed to shecht meat even if one person requires it. And mostly Erev Yom Kippur. Ask Tosfos, so why does the Gemara only mention Erev Yom Kippur, not all the other Erev Yom Kippur? So Tosfos answers, and this is what we explained earlier, the Gemara is not concerned that on Shabbos somebody's going to go slaughter a big animal. Everybody's going to recognize the Shabbos. But shechting a chicken is something that people takes a minute and a person could forget. So the Gemara is saying like this, says Tosfos. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a point to eat fish and chicken. That's why we're concerned that he's going to shech the chicken. Every other yontif, the mitzvah is to eat meat. By meat, we're not concerned that one's going to slaughter an animal. The Pnei Yeshua, some cipher, ask a different question. What's Al Gemara's question? Al Gemara's question is, because we have a concern that if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, every Yom Kippur is on Sunday, we're going to go slaughter chicken on Shabbos, we should push off Yom Kippur till Tuesday. Ask some cipher, but if we push off Yom Kippur till Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Sunday. And there's a rule of Loi Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah can never be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So how could we push off Yom Kippur to Tuesday by causing Rosh Hashanah to be Sunday? So the Bnei Yeshua and Sam Sofer explained that what is the reason that we manipulate the calendar, that Rosh Hashanah should not be on Sunday? Because if Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Sunday, Hoshanah Rabbah is going to be on a Shabbos. And Chazal did not want Hoshanah Rabbah to be on a Shabbos. So they explained that even though, of course, we certainly try to have a situation where Hoshanah Rabbah will not be on a Shabbos, but when we have all these different conflicting needs, Yom Kippur, we don't want somebody to be Mechal Shabbos if there's a real concern of cooking or preparing on Shabbos afternoon. And they also say Rosh Hashanah coming out on Sunday is not really that bad. Because if Rosh Hashanah is not going to be on Sunday, it's going to be on Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, we're not going to blow the shofar. So it isn't so bad necessarily that Rosh Hashanah should be on a Sunday. That's why the Gemara is considering that even though it will cause us problems with Hoshanah Rabbah, still we should manipulate the calendar and we'll gain that Erev Yom Kippur will not be on Sunday, and we'll gain that the first day Rosh Hashanah will not be on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, we don't have a reason. Yom Kippur, we have no concern. Says the Gemara, Hashtadosus lahachi. Now that we've explained that the reason weddings should not take place Matzoi Shabbos is because we're concerned that the person may come to be Mechal Shabbos, the same reason Erev Shabbos Nami, on Friday, we shouldn't make weddings, because if we'll have the wedding Friday afternoon, the wedding meal will be Friday night, and you'll come to the wedding, the host will come to the wedding, and he sees he doesn't have enough food prepared, and there's a concern, Gzeres Shem Yishka Ben Oif, he may come to Shecht and be Mechal Shabbos. The Mefarshim all ask, the Gemara at the beginning of the Shir already gave us the reason why weddings shouldn't take place Friday, because it's a Chabura when the husband has his first relations with his wife Friday night. Why does the Gemara have to give us a new reason? So I saw three answers to the question. One answer is that the Gemara wants that the Braisa should be consistent. And the Gemara says that the same reason, now that we established the reason for Matzoi Shabbos not having a wedding, we also want to have the same reason for Friday afternoon. Another pshat that they say is, because as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's Shir, this concern that having first relations with a wife causes a chabura is not necessarily la'loch l'maisa. We don't say that it's a problem. But the concern of being Mechal Shabbos still is a real concern. A third answer, says the Pnei Yeshua, is what's going to be the halacha if one marries a wife who's no longer a basula. So the concern of chabura is no longer there, because the concern of chabura is only by a basula. But the concern of chilul Shabbos makes no difference if it's a ba'ula or a basula. That's why the Gemara looks for this reason to be the reason why weddings shouldn't take place on Friday afternoon. Again, the Mefarshim also ask, a wedding Friday afternoon with a basula? Our first Mishnah taught us that we're not supposed to make weddings. We're supposed to make the wedding of a basula on Wednesday. How do we come to say that the wedding is on Friday or Matzoi Shabbos? So Mefarshim answer that as we've learned, that this rule that the wedding of a basula should take place on Wednesday was only said where Beis Din is in session exclusively on Monday and Thursday. But if Beis Din is not in session ever in a firm schedule, so Tosfos, and we learned earlier, said that we can make a wedding every day, and the next morning if there's a problem, you'll tell it to three people. And that's what the Gemara is referring to. La'loch l'maisa, it's interesting. In many communities, especially in pre-war Europe, it was very common to make weddings Friday. They couldn't afford to make a wedding during the week, so they combined the Friday night meal with a wedding. They used to make the wedding Friday afternoon, the chuppah, and the meal was Friday night. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that if one could avoid making a wedding Friday night, it's certainly preferable because of all the possible shailas that could come up. Ask the Gemara. As we just said a moment ago, the Mishnah taught us that the wedding of a psula should take place on Wednesday. Ask the Gemara, Ibar Yiluhu, psula nesas bervi, the chuppah should take place on Wednesday, the nivelas bervi, and the bia should take place on Wednesday. Most Rishonim mean that it should take place Wednesday by day, even though l'chatchila bia should not be done by day. If it's done in a dark room, it's permissible. There are Rishonim that learn the Gemara that means that we do the bia Tuesday night. We're not going to learn the Gemara that way. The Gemara's question is, make the chuppah, and make the bia Wednesday by day. From Wednesday afternoon till Thursday morning when the person can arrive to Beis Din, there's a time lapse. We're not that concerned. It's not such a significant time lapse. Or perhaps what the Mishnah meant was Besula Nesas Bervi. The Chuppah should take place on Wednesday. However, the Nivelas, the Bia should take place B'chamishi, Wednesday night. So it should be quite close to Thursday morning, because we're concerned if there's any time lapse, the husband will cool off and not come tell Beis Din that his wife, who was supposed to be a psula, wasn't. Toshma, the Tani Bakapara, we learned in a braisa, psula nesas bervi, the chuppah is on Wednesday, the nivelis, but the bia is the chamishi, on Wednesday night. Says the Bakapara, why? Hoyo v'nemer b'brach l'dogim. Because we know that the pasuk mentions a bracha to fish on Thursday. So we want to have that bracha come to the bia, and that's why the wedding should take place on when the bia should take place on Wednesday night. And I saw a number of points that the Mefarshim make. One they say is, that Pasuk, Thursday, there was a bracha to dogim, but there was also a bracha to birds. Why does the Gemara say Thursday is special because of the dogim, not because of the ifis? So I saw a few answers to that question. One answer is because the wording by dogim is very similar to the wording by humans. The Pasuk uses the words pru or revu. By ifis, the Pasuk doesn't use the words pru or revu. Another answer I saw is that by fish, we know, are not seen. They swim in the water. Something that's not seen, that's where it is, the bracha. There's no ayin hara. As we start this new couple in life, we give them a bracha that they should not be subject to an ayin hara. Another pshat that I saw, a very beautiful pshat, is that the Medrash says, the Medrash compares a Jew to the fish. Just like a fish cannot survive outside of the water, so too Torah, which is compared to water, a Jew cannot survive without Torah. So we start this couple, they're getting married now, and we tell them, take the lesson of the fish. If you want to have success in life, build your life with Torah. Just like the fish need the water, you need Torah. And that's why I saw there was a minig, there was a minig, the fish should be served at a chasna meal to represent all of these points that we just made. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, furthermore, Amon and Nisa'as b'chamishi, the Amon is chup is on Thursday, the Nivel is b'shishi, and the Bia is Thursday night, Friday, Hayav Nemeh b'bracha l'odom. Because that's the day where Kadosh Baruch Hu said to people, the bracha pruvu. So we see, Tama, that the entire reason why the Bia should take place Wednesday night, is Mishum Bracha, because we want the couple to have the Bracha of fish. Ava Mishum Ekrurei Data, if the concern was just because too much of a time lapse from the Bia to the Bezdin, Loicheshinan. And that's why the wedding could take place. So the wedding takes place really Wednesday, the Chuppah, the Bia Wednesday night to have the Bracha, but as the Rishonim explained, since Tosfos already taught us on the first Amud of the Masechta, bracha is not an essential reason to have a bia. So if they want, they could have the bia even Wednesday afternoon. Ask the Gemara, if the bracha is so important, so why don't we have that Amana getting married, have the bia on Thursday? Since that's the day that bracha was given to fish, says the Gemara, bracha d'adam adifalei. And this is what Rishayim explained the Gemara. Certainly the bracha given to an Adam is more relevant to us than the bracha given to fish. But a Basula, we need to get married Wednesday or Wednesday night because we need Bezdin. By Almana, we don't have the need for Bezdin. So if they're only getting married because of bracha, it's better they should have the bracha of Adam and have the Bia Thursday night. And in fact, Dargos Ashri says that nowadays, that as we said earlier in the Shir, we're not makbet to make weddings specifically on Wednesday, because we don't have this Bezdin point. There's a point to make a wedding Thursday night. Because Thursday night we have the Bracha L'Adam, and the couple should have the Bracha L'Adam. Vinami, another reason why our mana should get married on Thursday night, Mishum Shaktu. We're concerned about the welfare of Jewish women. The Tanya. Why do we say that the chuppah should take place on Thursday, the nevel is b'shishi, and the bia should be Thursday night? If the chuppah and the bia will both be by Thursday, lemachar, since it's not a psula, mashkelim nasai, the husband will just go off to work. Mashkelim nasai v'haylechloi. Shoktu chachom al tekonis b'nas Yisrael, but Chazal were concerned about b'nas Yisrael, she's someich imo shloish yomim. We want at least that the chassan and kala should have time to spend with each other, even if she's an almana for 3 days. So chamishi v'shabbos is the chuppah. Erev Shabbos is the day that they have bia, so he won't go to work. V'shabbos. And then on Shabbos, he doesn't go to work, so they at least have 3 days together before he goes back to his job. And as Mefarshim explained, a bachur who marries a psula, that chosen is a chosen hadoim lamelech. He's not allowed to go to work. Even if his wife will allow him to go to work, he's not allowed to go to work. On the other hand, if somebody marries an almana, if his wife gives him permission, even the second day after the marriage, he's allowed to go. And that's why we wanted to avoid this kind of a situation. The Pesach can discuss if there are any circumstances that a chosen can work during the Sheva Brachas. So I saw two interesting Piska Halacha. One is from the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav says that if it's a Dover or Ovid, it's a loss, and it's Betzina, it's not done in public, and of course he has permission from his Kala, then he's allowed to work during the Sheva Brachas. And another interesting Pesach that I saw from the Shvus Yaakov is, we know, we discussed this just in the previous year, that an Ovel is not allowed to work. What happens if an Ovel, somebody is an Ovel, but he has a partner in his business who's not an Ovel? So it's not so simple that that business is allowed to be open. That's why what they try to do is they sell the entire business sometimes to the partner. But it's not so simple that if somebody is an active partner in a business, and he, Rachman Tzlan, is an Ovel, that business could be open. But on the other hand, if someone is a Chassan, and he is a partner in a business, certainly the business may be open during the Sheva Brachas. Because the reasoning why an Ovel is not allowed to work, and the reason why a Chassan is not allowed to work, is entirely different. An Ovel, we want to be in grief and not have anything else. A Chassan has nothing to do that he's not allowed to work. We want him to be involved with his Kala. But if the business is running, that doesn't take him away from being involved with his Kala, and he's allowed to work. Ask the Gemara. My Ikka ben Bracha l'shaktu. So now we gave two reasons why an almana should have the chuppah Thursday and the bia Thursday night. One is because we want her to have the bracha of Adam Pruvu, and the other is because of Shaktu. What's the difference? And like Tysus explains, bracha itself cannot be a reason, because we know that bracha is not essential, as we said so many times. What does it mean? Says the Gemara, ikvenayu Adam Batal. If the husband doesn't work anyway, so if the concern is bracha, so then we want the wedding to take place anyway Thursday night. But if the were, if, but Shaktu is not an issue with this person because he doesn't work anyway. Inami Yontif Shechali is Perev Shabbos. If the Yontif is on Friday, so he's not going to go to work anyway, so then the question is, could we make the wedding earlier or not? From here we see, the Pesachim say that a wedding can't take place on Yontif. Otherwise the Gemara should have said you can't make a wedding on Yontif. Dorash Bar Kapara, continues the Gemara. Gedoyle Masa Tzadikim, Yoysim Masa Shemayim Va'aretz. Greater is the Masa Tzadikim more than creation of heaven and earth. So Mefarshim asks, beautiful piece of Gadat to Gemara we're going to learn, but how does it come to our Gemara here, Masechta Ksubis? So one pshat is simple. Since we quoted Bakapara in the previous Gemara, the Gemara brings another limud the Bakapara taught us. Another pshat that I saw is, since we see now how the Brocha the Adam, how it's so, the people bring bracha to the world, so the Gemara shows us such an example. How do we see that Maisa Tzadikim is even greater than Maisa Shemayim V'aretz? Deal with Maisa Shemayim V'aretz Ksiv, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world, Af Yodai Yoz the Aretz, my one hand, the left hand, created the world, V'yimini Top created this world, Olam Hazeh, V'yimini Top Chashmayim, and my right hand created the heavens. V'ilu b'masi yideim shel tzadikim, regarding the handiwork of tzadikim, k'siv mochon l'shiftecha Hashem, mochon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem, mikdash Hashem konenu yudecha. Yudecha, two hands. The base of mikdash was created with two hands. And as Tosfos points out, even though the world at the end was created with two hands, one hand this world, and one hand Shemayim, but two hands weren't used for any part. Here, two hands were used for the base of mikdash. Heishiv bavli achad. So it was a bavli, Rav Chiya Shmoy, whose name was Rav Chiya, asked, the Pasuk says, V'yaveshes Yodav Yotzaru, that the world was created with Yodav, both hands. Answers the Gemara, Yodai Ksiv. Even though the Kri, we read it Yodav, but the Ksiv is Yodai. And the Mefarshim asked, if the person who asked was, his name was Rav Chiya, why do we have to identify him as a bavli? What's the difference from where he comes? So one answer I saw is the bavli, the people from Bavli weren't experts in Kri and Ksiv. That's why he didn't know that even though we pronounce it Yodav, the Ksiv is Yodai. Another teretz is, the Gemara here is proving how great the Beis HaMikdash is. This person was a Bavli. He didn't go to live in Eretz Yisrael and experience the Beis HaMikdash. That's why he didn't have an appreciation for the Maaseh Tzadikim of the building of Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, V'ktziv Yotzru, again, both hands, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Yotzru Etzba Oisav. It's referring to the fingers. K'ktziv, Ki Ere Shamecha, Maaseh Etzba Secha, the work of your fingers, Yireyev HaKachav Meshekananta, the stars and the moon that you created. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Hashemai Mesaprin Kvayr Keil, Umasa Yodov, Magdukir, so it says Yodov, and it says Gemara, Hachkam, the Pasuk means to say, Masi Yedeim Shetzadikim, who testifies and who declares the greatness of the Masi Yedeim Shetzadikim, Mi Magid Harakia, it's shown by the heavens. Umay Nihu, how are the greatness of Tzadikim's acts shown? Mutter. Because tzaddikim have the ability that even if it's a time of drought, through their tefillah, they could bring rain. So Mefarshim ask, beautiful pshat, from all the things that tzaddikim do, why does the Gemara point out to rain as showing their greatness? Tzaddikim do so many wonderful things. Why is rain the example of their greatness? So I saw a beautiful pshat. What does rain represent? Rain is the way we connect this world with Shamayim. The greatness of tzaddikim is that they're able to infuse the gashmius. They're able to infuse our world with ruchnius, with shamayim. That's what a tzaddik is, that he's able to make from gashmius a davar kadosh, a holy thing. Darash Bakapar continues the Gemara. Ma'idik siv, the pasuk says, v'yesed til chalai zanecha. The pasuk describes there that when Klai Yisrael go out to war, they should take along with them a shovel, that if they have to relieve themselves, they could cover their waist. Says the Gemara, I'll take you as necha, el al aznecha. Don't call it your shovel, but it means your ear. So, as Mefarshim explained, since we just learned the greatness of tzaddikim, so the Gemara wants to show, how does somebody achieve this madrega, this being a tzaddik? And the Gemara is going to show us this way. And Ramban here says, and it's a relevant Ramban, for Kol HaTorah Kula, he says the Pasuk means, V'yesed Tiel Aznecha, that besides taking out your weapons, take out a shovel. So now we're going to start saying a whole drasha that it means your ears. Ask the Ramban, how do we come to say that? Says the Ramban, specifically, the Torah has known the Kodesh, to give us the opportunity to say more than one pshat in a pasuk. Mashah says, V'yesatiel chalazanecha, if the pasuk meant to say that besides taking your weapons, take shovels, it should say V'yesatiel zuyunecha, the word zayon. What did it say, alaznecha? It must be to come teach us a drasha. The Kliyaka says, the pasuk continues to say, if you'll do this, V'nishmarta mikol davaro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. Taking a shovel to cover your waist is not necessarily the way we're going to have a shmira. There must be something deeper in the pasuk. What is the deep in the pasuk? Shem yishma adam davar she'eino hogen. If somebody hears something inappropriate, yiniach etzboy beznof. He should put his fingers in his ears. V'hayin d'amir abeloza. Mneima etzboysof shel adam doimeli seidois. Why do the fingers look like pegs? My tamus. Ask them, what does the brayso mean? Ilay mishum de mechalkon. Why did we have five separate fingers? There's a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu created five fingers. Damamar, zuzeris, the pinky is a zeris, to teach us what size the choshen should be. Because the Torah, when it speaks about the measurements of the choshen, uses the zeris. The next finger is kmitza, to teach us that's the finger, the way most Rishonim learn, that's the primary finger used when kmitza is performed. Zu'ama, the middle finger, is because if one measures from the tip of his middle finger to his elbow, that's the shear, that's the measurement of an ama. Zu'etzpa, the pointing finger, because that was the finger that was generally used when they had a spritz, blood on the mizbeach, they used that finger. Zu'goid, the next one is the goidl, is the thumb. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the goidl is the finger, the thumb is the finger when they had to spritz by certain kabbonis on the thumb. Taisa says the girdle was used when, after kmitza was done, they wanted to take off the mat that's still sticking out, they used the thumb. The question is, al matam mushupois ki yisaydis, why are the fingers tapered? To teach us, shem yishma adam davish en hagen. If somebody hears something inappropriate, yinich etzpoisa ba'oznov, to put his fingers in his ear. So I saw from the Yaakov, if the point is to have a finger to put into your ear, you don't need five fingers. You could have one. So then Yaakov says a very big chiddush. You need extra fingers not only to put into your ears, but to put into your friend's ears. That he shouldn't listen to the Lashon Hara either. Tana dvei Rav Shmuel. Ma oizen kulay kosher. Why is the ear made out of a hard material? Va'alya, but the earlobe is raka, is made out of a soft material. To teach us, shem yishma adam dovish shein ahogun, if somebody hears something inappropriate, yokef alya l'toichai, he should be able to pull up his earlobe. And like the Chofetz Chaim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so concerned that we should not hear something we're not supposed to hear, he gave us two ways of protecting our ears. The earlobe, and the finger, just not to hear something inappropriate. Tan Rabbanan, al yashmi adam la'oznov dvarim b'teilim. We shouldn't listen to meaningless words. Because the ears will be the first that will be burnt. And as the Mefarshim explain, if there's a house that's on fire, the part of the house, Rachman al-Tzlan, is put it's on fire, that's the part that will burn first. Here too, the ears, since they're the opening for us to hear everything inappropriate, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make that, that's why if you hear something inappropriate, that'll be the first part of the body to burn in Gehenna. And the Chofetz Chaim says another interesting word. He says, the Gemara keeps on speaking originally about Yishma, Dovish, and Ahogan, not to hear something inappropriate. Then the Gemara changes its wordings. Then the Gemara says, Ayishmi dvarim betalim, meaningless words. So what does that mean? He says, the Gemara is so concerned that we shouldn't hear inappropriate words. He says, if you hear dvarim betalim, that will bring you to hear inappropriate things. So don't listen to dvarim betalim because it's a slippery slope. The Yaros Tavash says a very interesting, quotes a very interesting medrash. He says, originally, before Adam Harishon did the Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man with eyelids to close his eyes. He created a person with a mouth that could close. They shouldn't always have to talk. He doesn't always have to hear. Listen, see. But hearing, there's nothing wrong. What could you hear bad? It was, and then he says, the Medrash says, that there were no five fingers. He didn't need the separate fingers. Only after Chava listened to the Nachash, to the snake, and did the Aveira, so we saw what happens when you hear something inappropriate. It caused her to do the Aveira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to recreate the person with the five fingers that could be put into your ear to prevent you from hearing something inappropriate. Ibayluhu. So now begins the Gemara, as we said. The question is there a malacha? Is there Chil Shabbos involved in doing Bia on Shabbos? Ma'al livu b'tchil b'Shabbos. May Bia be done in Shabbos. And as the Mefarshim say, we began today's shir quoting a b'raisa that clearly tells us that Bia is Asr. So what's the Gemara Shaila? So there's two pshat. The one pshat is that they say these Talmidim who asked this Shaila were not aware of that b'raisa. Another pshat that I saw is they wanted to know, although the b'raisa says it, is that the halacha? Do we follow that way la'halacha? What is the Shaila based on? Dam, the blood of a psula, how do we view it? Niftet pocket, al chiburim michbar. Is it considered that it's just there, but it's not really absorbed in the body? Or is it actually absorbed? So the Chasam Sofer explains, well, we're asking a question, what is the metzias? Let's examine the woman and we'll know. Says the Chasam Sofer. If something is just in a cup, and if you want to open up the lid and pour it out, that's certainly mutter. If something is totally absorbed and you have to extract it, that's usr. He says the way to view this dam is like it's in a sponge. And is extracting it from the sponge, mutter usr. And the Gemara goes on to explain. In Timtzloimer, Mifkit Pocket, that it is just not absorbed. It's like in a cup. Do we say, ledam hu tzarech? The person who does the bia with this psula needs the dam, and he's not looking to make a opening, a permanent opening. It's just opening it up to pour out the dam, and it's mutter. Why does he want the dam out? So Taisva says two pshatim. One pshat Taisva says is that he wants the dam out because it's inconvenient every time he should have relations with his wife, she should bleed. Another pshat that Taisva says is, as we've been learning, this is what proves that she's a psula, and that's why he wants the dam. Adema lepesach utzarech. What he's intending to do with his bia is to open up this area, and it's considered baina. It's considered opening up, like building a door for v'asr. Then tim tzolaymer. And if you'll argue that his real intent is ladam utzarech, he really is only interested in getting the dam. However, upesach memeila kasi, but by doing that, he has now a permanent opening. What is the halacha? Is the halacha Reb Shimon that says a dovah shein miskaven? Reb Shimon says throughout Shas that a dovah shein miskaven is mutter. Or do we say the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, dama dovah shein miskaven is aser? Then tim tzolaymer, and even if you'll argue and say that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, here we have another reason to be mekel. Because it's Mekalkel who eats LaPesach. He's doing a destructive act, and the destructive act is mutter. Mekalkel who eats LaPesach, is that considered a destructive act, which is mutter? Or Mesakin who eats LaPesach, or is it considered a constructive act, which is aser? So the Taisus asks that even if we're considered a destructive act, Rabbi Yehuda says a destructive act is not Chil Shabbos Daraisa, but it is Chil Shabbos Darabonin. So what's the Gemara saying? That if it's Mekalkel, it'll be Mutter, it still will be Aser. It's Mekalkel is Aser Darabonin. So Taisus gives two answers. One answer Taisus says is, since we have here two Darabonins, number one, it's Mekalkel, and number two, it's a Dovah Shein Miskaven, and Taisus obviously holds that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmer and holds that a dovah shein miskaven is osur in Shabbos, will only hold its osur midrabanan. Therefore, he'll be mekel over here. Another pshat that Taisa says that you have another factor. It's letzarech mitzvah. His doing the mitzvah of having relations a puravu. So since it's mekalkel and since it's a dovah shein miskaven, therefore it should be mutal letzarech mitzvah. The Ritva gives a different answer. Ritva says that since when is Mekalkel Osir? So he says a very big chiddush. He says Mekalkel is Osir when something can be done as a constructive act and it can be done as a destructive act. So Chazal said that even when you do it as a destructive act, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because you may do the same act once constructively. But if something by definition is always going to be done in a destructive fashion, that is always mutter. Since if we're going to learn that doing bia is called a makalkel, so it's always makalkel, and there's no reason to say it's osam adrabanan. But Taisus asks another question. We're saying, and we're going to discuss this much more in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Shem, that if, according to Reb Shimon, if his intent is not to make a Pesach, it's a dovah shein miskaven, it's mutter. But we know Reb Shimon holds that a dovah shein miskaven, even though he holds its mutter, if it's a psik reisha, if what he's doing is inevitable to happen, then it's not called a dovah shein miskaven and it's aser. So if this is certainly going to happen, that there's going to be a Pesach here, so according to Reb Shimon, it should be aser. Answers Taisus, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow shir, since there is a way of doing bia without causing dam to come out, without making a permanent Pesach, so it's not considered a psik reisha, and if we hold like Reb Shimon that a dovah shein miskaven is mutter, it would be permissible to do on Shabbos.
We're on.